Good afternoon. Joining us on the line now is Patricia and Robert Malcolmson. They're social historians who've written many books together. Their latest, A Nurse's War, is a compelling true story of one young nurse's heroism, heartache and happiness in wartime. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Hi, thanks so much for joining us. So I'm interested how you heard of this story. Kathleen Johnston is the name of the nurse, and she wrote a diary, didn't she?
She did.
Yes, and we founded the collection at the University of Sussex of Mass Observation, which holds almost 500 diaries written in wartime, and we think hers is one of the best.
Gosh, amazing. So did you go through and read quite a lot of them then to find this story?
We've been working on these diaries for probably about 15 years, on and off, and published quite a number of others. And last year we had a full copy of Kathleen Johnston's diary, and were reminded of how good it was, and we decided we'd try to work on it and turn it into a book, and happily that's what's happened.
Yeah. So how do you go about turning a diary into a book? What's the process?
Well, there are a number of things. The first thing you have to do is decide what you're going to select from it, because most diaries cannot be reproduced in their entirety. They're repetitive, they're too long. It's not a matter of censorship, so we always try to choose the best features of the diary, the most interesting ones, the most unexpected. And then the other thing that we do is read a lot of sources from the time to give a context for the diary. For instance, Patricia read almost all the books that Kathleen Johnston read and watched the movies that she saw in the cinema in Blackburn.
Gosh, so that gave you a real insight into what she was like then.
Well, exactly. Because what we're really doing with these diaries is trying to show people what life was like on an everyday basis in the home front. And a lot of books written emphasize the drastic nature of some of the occurrences, and whereas what actually happened is people lived everyday lives, as Kathleen describes it herself. She's very fluent and descriptive of what happens on an everyday basis. So, yes, she's living in wartime and under rationing and so forth, but still she goes out and has lovely walks in the beautiful countryside around Blackburn. She goes to the cinema. She has jokes with friends, all kinds of things. And that's what we're trying to highlight in putting this diary together.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And that's a really good point, because with all the films and books and documentaries and things that we see or read about the Second World War, it's easy to think that it was, I mean, clearly I'm not taking away from the fact that it was an absolutely horrendous time for a lot of people. But as you say, there were still normal people that were getting on with their lives in the best way possible.
And we might add that because Kathleen was working in a hospital, there were, of course, times when real emergencies occurred. There are some sad stories in the novel. There are some, other than the diary, there are some happy stories, too, about patients' recoveries. And the war comes into it because in the late summer of 1944, a lot of injured soldiers were being brought back from France, some of them British, but at the end of the summer, some of them Germans, including SS. And this caused great consternation in the hospital.
Yeah, I can imagine. So what does Kathleen say about that then?
She describes how other people reacted. She describes situations where the administration would want to put a German-speaking nurse into a ward with German soldiers. But sometimes the German-speaking nurse was actually a refugee from Nazi Germany, and that caused, of course, a great deal of problems.
We might add, too, about the diary that as well as the everyday that she talks about so colorfully sometimes, there's a narrative story, because her fiancé is a prisoner of war in Germany. She hasn't seen him since October 1939. He was captured outside of Dunkirk. They're in occasional contact, but as the war is winding down, she's wondering, will he survive? Will they get together? Will they marry? How different will they be from when they knew each other in late 1939? So that's something that creates a sense of a real story that you're wondering how it is going to unfold.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Horrendous to imagine that. So when you were reading her diary for the first time, you were probably thinking the same thing, wondering how that was all going to pan out.
Exactly.
And one recognizes that when she talks about other things that are of interest to people, she's also trying to distract herself from her deep worries. She also has contact over the years with other men, and of course, occasionally in the diary, wonders whether she's a different person and the fiancé is a different person than they were years before. So it has that special interest to it.
Mm. And what does she talk about? Or what does she say when she talks about her day-to-day work as a nurse and when people come to the hospital that have come back directly from war?
Well, in the hospital, she talks about quite a number of different cases. I mean, one, just to illustrate, a young boy comes in badly burnt. And she remarks on how this has become more of a wartime issue because so many mothers are employed in munitions. Blackburn had a terrible time during the Depression. People suddenly have jobs during the war, and children often aren't very well cared for as their mothers are working to keep the family together. So that's a hazard that she mentions. One young man comes in who had accidentally shot his sister when he returned home on leave because his gun was loaded, which it should not have been. But we might add as well that in addition to her life as a nurse in Blackburn, her parents lived in the village of Downham outside of Blackburn, just outside of Clitheroe, actually, which is a beautiful village. So she spent a fair amount of her time with her parents when she was off duty. And talks a lot about rural life. And there were some six Italian POWs working on the estate there. So that you get a perspective of life both in the countryside and the city from this diary.
Yeah. Did she describe it as being very different then? Obviously a lot more peaceful in the countryside, presumably.
She's able to see her family, people who work on the land. So it's very different from the people in Blackburn who are mostly working in the mills. So a different lot of people. And she travels back and forth often on the bus and notices the times that the buses are full because they're full of people who have been working in munitions and it's harder for people who are not doing that to get on transportation. And also that the difference between the city and the country is very evident in this diary, that she speaks often rhapsodically about the beauty of the countryside when she is able to go for a hike and a picnic with friends when she's off duty. So.
And does she talk about her friends and the different jobs that they're doing? Has she got any friends or family members that are other than her fiancé who are involved in the war in some way?
Her friends in Blackburn seem to be mostly fellow nurses, and she talks about a number of activities they have with them. The dancing is quite prominent. There are lots of dances. American soldiers show up in middle of 1944. And they, they're attractive for various reasons, one of which they burn through money like crazy and have no sense of the value of it either. So it just goes very freely. So that's something that causes some satisfaction when, of course, Britons at this time were lit very hard up and so many things were rationed. when she's out and about in the countryside, yes, she's sometimes with friends, but she often speaks of the villagers in Downham and her mother's activities. Her mother, like so many middle-aged women during the war, was very actively involved in volunteer activities, the Women's Institute being one example. So that brings in another dimension of wartime life.
Mm. And another thing, going back to her work in the hospital, penicillin, of course, was the new wonder drug in the summer of 1944. So she talks about that a lot.
Yes, she does. It was very hard to administer and had to be done with great care at the time. And yes, it was a wonder drug, but it was a new procedure for nurses in training and was quite different from what you might think of today in popping a pill. And she talks about the need for sterile procedures and her complaints about the huge needles that have to be used on the patients that she considers, unnecessary.
So it wasn't as much as a wonder drug as perceived then.
These were its early stages, and I think that it was seen to be very effective, but it took a while before it could be made, what should we say, logistically easy to use. The right. Early uses were pretty complicated.
Mm. Yeah. Gosh, you must have learned so much. When did you decide to become social historians? How did that happen? Where did your interest come from?
Well, it goes way back. It goes back when we were living in London in the late 1960s. We were both students at that time. And so we were working on earlier periods, the 18th and 19th centuries. So this goes back over 50 years. And as we had different jobs, and when we retired from these jobs a little over 15 years ago, we decided to join forces and work on projects together. Diaries had always interested us. The war had interested us. We were both born late in the Second World War. So one thing led to another, and we found ourselves working together on diaries ever since, roughly 20 years ago, and it's really been a lot of fun.
Yeah, and do you have specific roles when you've got two people working together and writing a book together? Do you have clear roles of who does what, or do you is it a collaborative process?
It seems to have just worked out easily, so that if research needs to be done for footnotes, it just falls to the person who is most interested in that particular topic or best able to undertake it at a point in time. So we can't decide that in advance. But yes, in the end, it is collaborative, because we read and edit each other's writing and that kind of thing. So,
and you haven't fallen out with each other?
No, we've not. Yes, we're still happily married after 55 years. So,
oh, that's impressive. That's amazing. Because a lot of couples would find it very difficult to work together. But you've obviously been doing it successfully for years. So that's well done.
Thank you.
Well, if people want to get a copy of your latest book, it's called A Nurse's War, and it's by Patricia and Robert Malcolmson, who we've been chatting with. The book is available on our website, tre.radio. Thank you both so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.